As far as Hitler's plans for the Jews was concerned, whenever he finally did come into power, do you feel his first intentions were just to enslave them, to maybe prosper at their expense? Or do you feel that his main objective was to exterminate the entire race from the beginning?
Well, first of all, Jews are not a race. But we are a religious group, an ethnic group. There are Chinese Jews that are just as Chinese as the other Chinese. Not very many of them. But I'm not sure what Hitler's priorities were when he came to power. I think probably his priorities were consolidating power and building military power, and given that, the problem of the Jews in Germany was probably not the first thing on his plate in a staff meeting every day in 1933, 1934, 1935. But you can see a progression of persecution of the German Jews from the very beginning of the Nazi ascendancy, because part of their ideology was anti-Jewish. I would not think that in 1933 he had thought ahead to 1942 in detail. I think he had a grand scheme in extermination of European Jewry was part of that, the enslavement of European Slavs, Poles and Russians was part of it, but the time frame and his specific plans probably in the earlier years relegated the extermination of German Jews and European Jews to a lower priority than other things that were more pressing, like getting the French out of the Rhineland, working to merge with Austria, dismantling Czechoslovakia. Those were the things that he was going after in the mid to the late 30s. But I think if you look back on the sequence of events, the escalating persecution of German Jews and then Jews in German-occupied Europe would support the idea that the end goal, whether it was 42 or 52 or 62, was extermination of Jews and other population groups that the Nazis viewed as subhuman, gypsies, homosexuals, Masons. And I happen to be a Mason, so I would, in Nazi Germany, would be in big trouble because I'd be a Jewish Mason. And so in the long run, I think his goal was extermination.
Why do you think the German people failed to resist this injustice that was committed against their fellow citizens?
Well, a lot of Germans did resist and paid a very, very difficult price for resisting. Most people tend to be very insular, and if something is not affecting their immediate nuclear family or extended family, the tendency is to let's just let it ride and see if we can ride it out. And that's a very, I think that's a very basic human behavior. Probably most German Jews did not give a lot of thought to it. And you have to realize it was a thing that didn't happen in a one-day period. It happened over a period of years before television, before CNN News, where you have instantaneous communications of events. And so it's the 30s are, as far as communications, are very different than the 90s. And so the thing happened over a period from 33, when he actually, Hitler actually took power, through 45, when the war in Europe ended, and the actual extermination accelerating dramatically towards the end of the war.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the concentration camps. From my understanding, the Soviet troops were the first to stumble onto the camps itself. There were rumors.
I forget the sequence. There were concentration camps in Germany, where the Western powers, Dachau near Munich. The extermination camps were mostly in occupied Poland. And since the Russians, their advance was into Poland, Auschwitz, Treblinka, and the others, obviously they came across the industrial complex that exterminated the Jews and others in those areas. The British, Canadians, and Americans came across the camps where lots of people died, but it was not an industrialized extermination like at Dachau. So both sides came across the atrocities that the Nazis were committing.
There were rumors, though, before anyone ever stumbled onto.
There were more than rumors. There were intelligence reports, eyewitness reports. There's no question in 1995, looking back at 1944, 1945, that our government knew exactly what was going on, as did the Soviet government and the other Allied powers. It's not a secret. And there were eyewitness reports. There were people that were able to escape from the camps. There were others that were able to get into them and find out, mainly the Jewish underground and the Polish underground. So it wasn't a matter of being rumors. It was a matter of a fact. We knew exactly what was going on in Auschwitz, and bombed a factory a couple of miles away from Auschwitz.
Well, when these concentration camps, when the facts started being released about them, what were the responses to these death camps? How did people respond to there being such a...
Well, if my expertise is probably mainly of the American response, and that was varied. One thing that seems to have kind of permeated the government is the idea of propaganda and the experience of World War I. And there was a tremendous amount of anti-German propaganda, atrocities of the Germans in Belgium and elsewhere that were extremely exaggerated from World War I. And so there was a hesitation in World War II to accept these things at face value. And that was kind of the overriding thing. There were some in the government, and as we get further away from the time and the people die and things are declassified, we'll learn more, that were anti-Semitic and really didn't care. And so there was that element. I'm not sure it was a predominant element, but it was there. And there was tension within, between the State Department, the Treasury Department. Henry Morgenthau was Jewish, and the Secretary of the Treasury, and the War Department, about this. And Morgenthau really pressed it in the after he got word of what was going on. And a lot of tension. The State Department tended to be quite anti-Semitic. The War Department, and we'll continue to evaluate what happened, probably tended to view it from a strictly military standpoint, and would might argue, and this is just very tentative, that if the Nazis are so bent on this non-military productive activity of killing the Jews that they'll tie up massive amounts of transportation that could be doing other things militarily, why not let them? As a purely military response. Now, I'm not sure that, and I don't have access to any documents that would say, okay, we know it's happening, let's let it keep happening, because it's really detrimental in the long run to the German war effort. I can't prove that. But that's something that is a hypothesis that over the next 20 or 30 years will be explored. So you have all these things. It's not just there was a CNN report that Auschwitz was murdering Jews, and then why didn't anybody do it, anything about it? It was a very, very different world in the 1940s than in 1995.
Leaders such as Stalin and Mao Zedong, they were personally responsible for millions of deaths. How would Hitler be compared to these two men, or would he be on a different level, a much higher level?
I am not an admirer of any of the three, but and Stalin did. His actions resulted in millions of deaths, and probably more than 6 million, and the civil war in China, and the great proletarian revolution of 1966 to 1976, and the great leap forward in 1958, and other things in Chinese history resulted in millions of people dying. I think the difference is the motivation and the focus and the single-mindedness and the industrialization of the murder, the Holocaust, the murder of the Jews, as opposed to Stalin's actions and Mao Zedong's actions, which resulted in horrible numbers of deaths. But that's more a result of actions than a result of a single-minded plan of exterminating a particular group of people. World War I resulted in a tremendous amount of battlefield dead and civilian dead. World War II, the death toll will never be counted, but it's at least 50 million. But the 50 million were killed as a result of World War II they were not murdered as a result of a conscious action to murder 6 million people. So there is a difference. It's a matter of unfortunate natural catastrophe. Hurricanes and typhoons and tornadoes kill lots of people, and it's very horrible that it happens, but there's no motivation behind it, no single-minded motivation. What Stalin did had many motivations, but they were dispersed, and a lot of it were economic, and the actions resulted in a lot of deaths. And the same for Mao Zedong. I guess the motive is the difference.
This same motive you discussed earlier, as far as problems in other parts of the world, as far as the wars, these same motives, do you see history repeating itself?
Unfortunately, there are peoples that dislike other peoples, and we haven't learned what can happen when you take the hatred and decide, well, the hatred is so great that let's exterminate another group of people. And no, I don't think we've learned as a world. I think many parts of the world have learned. I think most of America realizes what racial or religious hatred can result in, and will resist it. Unfortunately, in the Balkans, I don't think, and the current events would support the assertion that no, they haven't learned. Hopefully, enough of the world has learned. And there are 5 billion people in this world.
Dr. Spector, I'd like to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule in order to speak with me. And I deeply appreciate it.
Okay. I enjoyed it. I hope it's of some value.
I'm sure it will be.
Okay.